ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। As you can see, today we're reading, speaking from this third verse of Dhammadharashtaka, which Dharmaatma Prabhu asked me to talk about. And maybe before we read the verse, you have to excuse me, I couldn't prepare in a non-computerized way, because I was sort of sick the last 2 days, so I just had to put something together this morning on the computer. Although it's not reflective of Sukadev Goswami that computers are sitting on the asana. And I just like to, before chanting the actual verse, which we all know because we're singing it morning and evening, or at least evening for this month. Although it's a very it's a extraordinary verse, it is a eternal glorification of Lord Damodar. Although it was spoken by Satvata Muni, it's found in the Padma Purana. But Sanatana Goswami points out that it's actually eternal literature, and it emanated from the mouth of the sage by the desire of the Lord. You know, there are a lot of verses, literature that appear to have been written at some particular time, but either there's indication or sometimes there's direct reference, as in this case, that this is not written. Well, actually, Prabhupada said, Krishna is dictating to me, so that they are not just occasional literature or not composed at some particular time, but they're eternally existent. And of course, this glorifies Krishna in his form of Damodar, and that is not the Vishnu form of Damodar, but Krishna's two-handed form, his childhood form of Lord Damodar. I have a picture behind you over there. I can see it. You can't. And it's a form that's been worshipped forever. There are recommendations and references in Shastra predating this historical event to the worship of Lord Damodar, stories of prostitutes who were sent to worship Lord Damodar in the month of Kartik along with some other ladies on the bank of some sacred river, at the end of which they all ascended up to the spiritual world. So it's been not only the worship of Lord Damodar, but actually this pastime when one of our acharyas is introducing this lila, which encompasses the 8th to the 11th chapter of the 10th canto. It's introduced in the 8th and it's concluded in the 11th. Then they point out that this story was already well known prior to Krishna revealing it 5,000 years ago. Not necessarily before the eyes and the vision of the Brijbasis, but more to what Prabhupada calls regular devotees, practicing devotees, devotees who were perhaps at that time sadhakas or aspiring for perfection. They were aware of this. I've got to put a, oh no, I have a watch here, clock here. I can see what time it is. And the chronology, let's just go a little to the chronology of how we get here. The chronology is that following the second time that Krishna shows the universal form or the universe within his mouth to Mother Yashoda, because that's a very interesting pastime, but it happened twice. And the second time was over, well, both times were in Gokul, but the second time was over in Ramanreti. There's also a Ramanreti in Gokul. And near the bank of the Jamuna, after Balaram, this is an English term, after he snitched on Krishna. If you're from England or America, then you understand what that means. That means that he told on him. And at the conclusion of that, Sukadeva Goswami again describes to Parikshit Maharaj how, putting aside all other thoughts of Krishna's divinity, under the influence of Yoga Maya, then she again embraced her child, breastfed him, thought of him as her own begotten son. And those words are, I remember those words from Prabhupada's disciples will remember the very, very early Radio Krishna series where this pastime was actually on radio. I never heard it on radio, but I heard it recorded. It was a cassette. It was a very wonderful narration. And Parikshit Maharaj becomes very, Sukadeva Goswami speaks this verse, Traya Chopanishad Bhisha Sankhya Yoga Shasatvater. He says that throughout the Vedas, unknown to great devotees, this phenomenon of Mother Yashoda having this type of maternal affection for Krishna is both hidden and unknown to others, and no one, upagi imana mahatmam, no one can be as fortunate as Mother Yashoda was. And Parikshit Maharaj is very intrigued. He wants to know, well, how did she get there? And of course the answer is, she didn't get there, she's always there. That's another term for way back in the 60s and 70s. And Mother Yashoda was always Mother Yashoda. She never became Mother Yashoda. But to sort of answer a question, Parikshit Maharaj tells the story of Drona and Tara, who are the partial expansions of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And the other aspect is, and of course then the conclusion is that no, they're actually Nitya Siddhas. They have always been in this particular position. Even though sometimes it appears both in the text as well as in Srila Prabhupada's purport that Drona and Dara, who appear to have been sadhakas, that they are Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They are, in the sense that they're expansions of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And of course, the other question that arises is, how did you get this type of love? Up to now, Sukadeva Goswami is hearing about a certain type of bhakti throughout the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And directly, although there are many verses that glorify spontaneous devotion, but directly in terms of pastimes, it's not being described. Here, all of a sudden, is like a whole opening of floodgates, and it's already started up to now, and it continues on until Krishna leaves Vrindavan. So he wants to know, how do you get this type of devotion? How is it acquired? How did they acquire it? Of course, they didn't acquire it, but rather, and that then becomes the real answer, and it's one of the features of this verse, is that by hearing about them, you can acquire it. They didn't acquire it, but it can be acquired. So, and this is Srila Prabhupada's statement also in the purport, that by hearing Drona and Dara, one of their purposes for performing austerity and to Lord Brahma, they wanted this blessing that the Supreme Lord becomes their son. And that just by hearing about him, and just by hearing about his childhood pastimes, that the people of the universe will become liberated. Different devotees, such as Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, point out that this is all a leela, because Lord Brahma is not in a position to give that type of blessing. Jiva Goswami very pointedly says, you can't give what you don't have. And Lord Brahma does not have this, and that's pointed out in verses later on, that neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, no one is as fortunate as Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So the other real feature, the obvious feature of this verse is that Krishna is bound by his devotee's love. By this type of devotee's love, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the residents of Vrindavan, exclusively, completely, perfectly, he is wholly bound by their love, which means that he is also bound by them. So I think before we continue, we just chant this verse a little. I guess we have a very standard tune for singing it. So I'll just sing it a few times, and then if Vaishnavis would like to. Let's see if we're used to chanting this without instruments. Iti driksva lilabir ananda kunde. Swagoshtam nimajantam akya payantam. Tadi yeshita geshu bhakter jitatvam. Puna prema tastam sata vritti vande. Iti driksa lila birananda kunde. Swagoshani majantam akyapayantam. Tadi yeshita geshu bhakte jitatvam. Na prema tashtam shata vritti bande. Iti diksa lila birananda kunde. Svago shami majantam akyapayantam. Tade shitage bhaktar jitatvam. Puna prema tashtam sata vrittivan. Ladies, while we... Iti diksa lila virananda kunde. Svago shani majantam akyapayantam. Tadishitageshu bhaktirjitatvam. Puna prema tashtam sata vritti bande. Iti diksa lila virananda kunde. Svago shani majantam akyapayantam. Kadeshitageshu bhaktirjitatvam. Puna prema tashtam shatav. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, you know, the first verse is a glorification and offering namaskar, offering respects and glorifying Lord Damodar. The second is describing actually the Leela. Sort of the description of the Leela is the most complete in the second, and then there's patchy parts come up in other different verses. And so here it says, iti, thus, iti, idrik, thus, by these kind of pastimes. And I'll just go through the verses. And he says, swa-lila, Svalilabhi, by Krishna's own pastimes. Anandakundi is a pool of bliss. Svagosham, he's talking about, well, Srila Prabhupada translates this as the gopis elsewhere. Here it's translated his own family and other residents of Gokula. When that translation's given, it's not talking simply just about some historical time when Krishna is playing a particular role, that he is part of a family and then he moves on. But actually, these are his people. During the Govardhan Puja event, when Krishna is holding up the hill, And of course, after that, he puts it down. There's really a sense of wonder, obviously. He just lifted a mountain. Right now, we call it a hill. At that time, it was a significant mountain. And unless Krishna has some purpose to fulfill, he doesn't particularly like the Vrajbasis to be thinking of him in some kind of extraordinary way, other than what this phrase here means, Swagosham, and in that sense, the translation, his own kinsman. And so he tells them, he says, I'm your kinsman, and I don't want you to think of me as anybody else but one of you. And that's how I think of myself. I don't think of myself in any other way. So when he says Swagosham, it means he also thinks of himself as one of them. And that's the beauty of this whole pastime, and of course not just this whole pastime, but Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, is that Krishna doesn't think of himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in this feature, he thinks of himself as just a member of the cowherd community. Of course, Krishna does both, because if he's God, he has to be able to both be fully aware that he's God, and he has to be able to be fully aware that he's not God. You can't restrict him to one or the other. And usually our coordination of these type of two contradictory things, he thinks that he's God and he doesn't think that he's God, must happen at different times. But achinta bheda bheda. But for him, they happen simultaneously and they don't disturb each other or they don't interrupt each other. So Svagosham, who he actually identifies with, he identifies that he is one of them. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which I hope everyone has read as the most superlative explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in which this pastime is also there, Sanatana Goswami makes this very interesting statement. He says when the hero, this is in the second part, when the hero of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar, when on one of his journeys from up and down, he's always going up and down somewhere, in this case, when he's coming down from the spiritual world to Braj, that Braj looks like Goloka, and Goloka looks like Braj, and he tells his disciple that actually after a while I can't tell the difference between the two. Now, Sanatana Goswami talks about the Braj of some other time, not necessarily the Braj that we unfortunately see at the present time, but and he says these words, this Uttar Pradesh, that this particular state, that this is the place that is seen also in Goloka, in the spiritual world. So he says, Nimajantam, he's drowning. It says immersing, but elsewhere Srila Prabhupada translates it, they drown. Literally speaking, he's drowning his own associates in these pools of ecstasy. Akyapayantam, and he's now making known. He makes known his pastimes, and he makes known this particular truth according to the desire of Drona and Dara. Yes, we want that people, just by hearing of these pastimes, that they'll actually become liberated in that sense of going back to Godhead. And also, he's making known to Tadiya Ishita Gyeshu, those who know of Krishna's majesty, like Uddhava, Narada Muni, who are both very clear about this extraordinary feature of the Brijbasi's privilege, and Krishna's pastimes here, but at the same time, they got one foot here and they've got one foot there. And Narada Muni really sticks his foot in a lot of things that are going on here, but still, he's got his feet in Vaikuntha. And then Jivatvam, that although he's Ajita Trais Trilokyam, and he can't be conquered, but he can be conquered, and these are the only people that can conquer him. Not even the residents of Vaikuntha, not the residents of Ayodhya, residents of Dwarka, only the residents of Vrindavan can actually fully bring Krishna under their control. So premata shata avritti bande. Many, many hundreds of times with love and devotion, we praise Krishna. So through his childhood pastimes, Krishna immerses his own people in pools of ecstasy and so reveals to devotees who worship him in majesty that his heart can only be conquered by devotion steeped in spontaneous love. I praise that Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. So here is the particular theme, the main theme of this verse, is that Krishna has unlimited qualities. 64 qualities are considered to be, or selected, out of those, four are unique and complete and relate only to him. But of all of Krishna's wonderful, extraordinary qualities, this is the best. And that is that he's controlled by his devotees. When I use the word devotee here, devotee in this sense means Maharaja Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. It means those residents of Vrindavan. So Krishna is controlled by his devotees, but what is it in his devotees that makes him control them? That they have this extraordinary love for Krishna, and they love Krishna for what he is, namely a lovable person, because he's so wonderful, he's so beautiful, he's so very extraordinarily sweet, he's so mischievous, and not for who he is, that he's God. And that's that's natural. All of us have a similar type of sentiment that people may respect us, appreciate us, have affection for us on the basis of some position that we hold. Okay, you're the GBC, Shivaram Swami, or someone else happens to be a judge, or someone else a politician, and so many people have some type of relationship with him. I was going to say marry. Not Shivaram Swami, but the judge and the politicians are not going to marry these people. They marry the person who doesn't care whether they're a judge or a politician or a businessman or wealthy or whatever. They marry him for who he is, again another Englishism, warts and all. Krishna doesn't have warts, by the way. But he does have some very extraordinary conduct, such as he lies and he steals and he cheats and he does all kinds of wonderful things. And for him, of course, they're really wonderful. So this quality of both bhakta vatsalya, but even in a more essential sense, that he is under the control of his devotees. So that he is conquered, jitatvam bhakter, that his jitatva bhakta, that he's conquered by his devotees and by the particular type of love that his devotees have for him. There are different examples that we see at the end of this pastime. just to, because this pastime is very lengthy, one of the longest pastimes that's described in the 10th canto, aside from, I guess, the five chapters dealing with Krishna and the gopis, the younger gopis. But here, there's this exclusive position that Mother Yashoda is chasing after Krishna and she's tying him down. And one can consider, all right, this is something that she has. It's something that's exclusive to her. But then Shukadeva Goswami concludes, and then he starts giving other examples. No, sometimes some of the other gopis, the elder gopis, actually in the very beginning, as Shukadeva Goswami leads in, concluding in the 8th chapter of the pastime, when he leads in to the pastime, he says, therefore, they took birth as Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and developed by Krishna's association and by his pastimes, developed their love. And by their association, the other residents of Vrindavan also acquired a similar type of love. So the other residents of Vrindavan, so gopis say, come to Krishna with sweets, and they say, of course, Krishna's like every little child. He's really into giving sweets. If you dance, then I will give you, interestingly, a half a sweetmeat. Now, you can think about why they only give half. Of course, they only give half, because if they've given them one half, then they got something else to bribe him with for with the other half. And if you want this other half, then you have to do more. So they did. Or sometimes, in the same way, they would ask him to sing. And Krishna would sing very loudly. Remember, Krishna's only a little boy at this stage. He's only about 3 years old. And they would ask him to sing, and Krishna would sing very loudly. And he wouldn't keep the key. And he would sing in a broken voice, trying to imitate some of the other bards who he used to hear. And once again, this was at their request. In other words, and he says this, in this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. And then he gives the other example. Sometimes they would tell him to bring some article. Of course, Mother Yashoda would tell him to receive his father. Go bring your father's shoes. Usually you don't tell God to stick his devotee's shoes on their head, on his head. But here she is. This is a sign of respect. Here's your father. He's the king. You're his son. Go bring his shoes. And so, but she didn't ask him to put them on his head. He put them on his head. And he carried those shoes. He's completely under the control of his devotees. Or sometimes they would ask him to do something that was impossible. Go lift up, let's see if you can lift up that big plank. And of course we would think, well, Krishna can do anything. Krishna can lift up planets. Krishna can lift universes. He can lift whatever he wants. But no, he has to be able to lift it, and he has to be able not to lift it as well. Otherwise he's not complete. If he can do both, only one, then that's not Om Purnam. He's complete. He can both lift it and not lift it. In this case, he doesn't lift it, in which case he takes a fit. And that's a wonderful thing. That's why they love him. And they appreciate that. Those parents who have children, they appreciate it more. They can relate to Krishna's phenomena here. Aside from these pastimes, interestingly, Acharya's favor a verse that comes at the conclusion of these two verses, which I was just sort of paraphrasing, and I won't have time to describe it, although it's a very interesting verse, but it's not the only verse. It says this, to pure devotees throughout the world, who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brajbasis about his childhood activities. I was so surprised that Acharyas quoted this. I mean, I'm nobody to be surprised by what they do. But because there was earlier verse, which comes up during the Leela, during the pastime, when Mother Yashoda finally grabs Krishna and ties him down, then Shukadeva Goswami takes a pause. And he speaks a very similar verse, which they also cite, but they don't analyze so much. He says, O Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami was in ecstasy, and he saw that Maharaj Parikshit is actually appreciating this pastime, and he himself was absorbed in narrating this wonderful Leela. So he says, O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Well, interestingly, the pastime wasn't finished. This was just the middle of the pastime. But Shukadeva Goswami had to take out this break. And he says, Britya Vasyata, his transcendental quality of becoming subordinate to his servitor or devotee. But Vaishnavas and Srila Prabhupada comment on this verse more. And it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada's translation is, two pure devotees, who could understand his activities? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In other words, how much that he can actually be tied up. And that he can't be untied. Because, of course, that was the latter part of the Leela, that it was only when Nanda Maharaj, because Mother Yashoda, after the trees fell, she was like in such a shock, they could have fallen on him, which was seemed quite obvious because he was playing in between the two trees. So she was in such shock, and she was also under very severe criticism from some of the other Brijbasis, and she was afraid to show herself in front of Nanda Maharaj. So she was just looking in the background, and it was only when Nanda Maharaj appeared on the scene then he untied. Otherwise, Krishna didn't untie himself. Krishna didn't consider that he actually had the power to undo what his mother had done. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that this pastime was exhibited not only to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It's obvious. They were there. They were seeing it. Some of those are Krishna's eternal associates. Some of those are Krishna's sadhana siddhas, devotees who were practitioners and now became qualified. Maybe some were demigods who were there for some service to Krishna. But to others, and he says, who were captivated by his external potency and his opulence. In other words, it's not just for the great devotees like Brahma and Shiva, who are already great devotees, although they're devotees in regulative service, but also those who are external potencies. So Prabhupada says both the internal devotees who were absorbed in love of Krishna and the external devotees who were captivated by his unlimited potency were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. When Jiva Goswami comments on this same thing, he says he showed to those who know him. In the verse it says, tad viddam, to those who know Krishna, that he's controlled by devotees and he's not controlled by anyone else. And Jiva Goswami makes a very nice comment, which I'll just conclude with later. He says, this should be seen as the special cause of his producing preeti in others. In other words, that hearing about this pastime is actually the special cause, this hearing, which is what we do when we read of this pastime, when we sing these verses, not just this verse, when we go on parikrama and our whole studies of Srila Prabhupada's books, is about producing preeti. So, shushudho shadadanascha vasudeva kataruchi, that simply by hearing, yes, you can attain ruchi. And sadhya ridya varudyate atakritibhi shushushabhish takshanat, that simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can attain love for Krishna. And he adds, and this is the greatness of bhakti, and this is the greatness of this type of bhakti, that if you hear it from the proper source, and if you hear it with the proper faith, shradambitam shrinuyad, you have to have a good quality faith, or the quality of your faith has to match the quality of the topic that you're reading, the topic that you're hearing, then it can awaken preeti. It can awaken love. And Sanatana Goswami adds a little more flavor. Sanatana Goswami tends to add a lot of flavor to things. In his commentaries, Bhagavatam commentaries, he tends to give alternative after alternative. He says, yadvat. It could be like this, it could be like that, it could be like this, and it could also be like that, and it can. And he gives so many ways that it could be. But one thing here that he adds is that those who know about his powers but don't know about devotees' control over him, in other words, that they may be great devotees, they may just be believers who know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they don't know about this particular feature of the Supreme Lord, his personality, his own preference, how he is controlled by devotees. Excuse me, I just... But he can... This pastime is for people who can actually appreciate the wonder of not just Krishna, but actually about the greatness of Krishna's devotees. Hear the Leela, we hear the pastime from Krishna's point of view, from Mother Yashoda's point of view. But here he raises this general point that yes, for people who understand that devotees in general can do this, or at least that great devotees can actually do this, and this attainment is available. It says the devotee's power is what is being actually being here glorified. Anyway, let me just conclude briefly that what I'd mentioned earlier from Jiva Goswami, by hearing about this, by hearing about these pastimes, by hearing about how Krishna is controlled, by hearing how he is controllable by a certain type of bhakti and devotion, that same type of, similar type of devotion, not same type because you can't become Mother Yashoda, but a similar type of devotion can be awakened in one. Sanatana Goswami quotes a general statement. He makes no scriptural reference to it. He says, Siddhanam sadhyas chasya sadhaka sadhanam chasya. Says the practice of the sadhakas has to match the siddha or the perfection that they are attaining. In other words, if you want to be a dentist, you don't go to engineering school. You go to dentistry school. Similarly, when you want to attain this type of devotional service, like that of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, then you have to have a similar type of sadhana. And that similar type of sadhana is basically chanting and hearing the pastimes that are being described or presented in primarily Srila Prabhupada's books and the other books of our acharyas. So let me just read, I'll finish by reading a quote or two from Srila Prabhupada, because time is of the essence. It is not possible for a sadhana siddha living being to become the father or mother of Krishna, for Krishna's father and mother are already designated. But by following the principles exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and their associates, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings, may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda. To that verse that I'd quoted earlier, and in their association, Nanda and Yashoda, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna bhakti. Same type of bhakti as is being discussed here. And Prabhupada says, in other words, persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the higher perfection. The sadhana has to match the sadhya, or has to match the goal. And in the third verse of the ninth chapter, Prabhupada makes this very nice purport. He's describing, or he's commenting on Mother Yashoda as she's churning. Sorry, I just remembered the Hungarian. Couldn't forget. So it's churning the butter. And beautiful description given by Shukadeva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada says, anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious and motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yashoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yashoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitor, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees much cherish this description, always thinking of Mother Yashoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yashoda in maternal affection for Krishna. And in conclusion, also this quote is from this Leela, Prabhupada's comment on this Leela. We are therefore presenting these invaluable books. Prabhupada is now referring to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, to the whole world, so that people may study them and be happy, being delivered from miserable condition of life. Hare Krishna, I have 2 minutes. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know if we want to entertain questions in 2 minutes, Dharmatma, or comments from our illustriously embarrassing audience. No, because our business is to do both, and we do Vrindavan meditation, we can do it here, but we shouldn't neglect Lord Chaitanya's formula for doing this, which is Yagyai Sankirtana prayer. Principally, it should be done while doing Sankirtan. And then certainly, it can be done there, but it should also be done here. And that's why Prabhupada kept bringing everyone back here. Even when Brahmananda Maharaj objected that it's going to cost so much money, he says, but you eat, you pay money to eat, so this is also our meal, coming here. So we should come here because the special atmosphere of Vrindavan will certainly remind us so that we don't forget what we're doing when we're in the parking lot and when we're treasurers. And that we should do that and serve that mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because without that mercy, then it takes a long time. But with Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then katanchana smriti yadam. What usually is very, very difficult to achieve, you can achieve very easily by Lord Chaitanya's grace. And this sadhya is very difficult. It's only Lord Chaitanya who's made it available, and Srila Prabhupada in one lifetime, if we have the right balance. Hare Krishna. I don't know what's the process. They continue with bhajan, or we continue with questions? Dharmatma? A little louder.
Yashoda Maharaj is asking Krishna to carry the shoes of his father. So he's bringing the shoes on his head. So he's teaching us this pastime that how we should do. My godbrother tells me to bring the shoes of the Guruji. And I am hiding the shoes and coming. I cannot put on my head. I am ashamed to do those things. But Krishna is teaching us how we should do.
That's a comment. Okay. Should we conclude? Yeah? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.